He was at the game too, but
yeah. Well, I'm just hearing Brunt's perspective, just slightly ahead of yours.
He might have been less foggy at the game than yeah.
I now, clarity.
Is this going to be awkward? Because I know you had planned on getting together with Steven, but
well,
it never
I was
happened.
Hoping to get together. It was never planned. I wanted to.
You don't call. You don't text. You nothing.
The position I was in, Steven, I don't think you'd have appreciated my insight and appearance.
That's quite possibly true. Plus, I was being very professional that night. I was wearing a suit and everything. So
yeah,
way too classy for two banged up Saskatchewan.
Yeah, Rhett,
I'd have tried to get on with you.
Rhett was wearing a crisp new Josh Donaldson jersey,
though.
Oh,
it looks sharp.
He's punched his ticket for the bandwagon. It's official.
That's good.
He's got a reserve. Yeah, he's got a first class seat on that
paid
bandwagon.
Extra for it. Yeah, I'm on.
Yep.
Lots of leg room. Hard not to be on, though, isn't it?
It's hard not to be on. It's no fluke. They're really good. they're playing really, really well, and the entertainment value is rather high. They have a nice flair for the dramatic.
The game, and I don't know how you can really kind of just historically speaking, because we forget about 92-93. You know, the Devon catch at the wall, the Roberto Alomar home run, obviously Joe Carter and that. But we are getting a few indelible, classic, unforgettable moments from this baseball team that our kids and that are going to be watching these when they get older.
Well, you know, I was around for that 92-93 thing. And, you know, in Alomar's home run against Oakland right through the Joe Carter home run in 93. And I'm not sure any of that was better than, well, you know, Bautista's walk-off last year, Edwin's walk-off this year, and then that crazy play to end the game and end the series against Texas with the, you know, the world's greatest villain throwing the ball away. You couldn't script it better than that.
No.
Now off we go into the ALCS where they've got a, I would say, better than even chance of winning this series and going to the World Series for the first time since 93. So it's, I've said this over and over again to people that, you know, there's a tendency around these parts for people to kind of start fretting about next year and contracts and what about this and, you know, how are they going to keep this guy? And I just preach to my, you know, to everybody I talk to, including my own kid, saying, look, it's not going to get better than this. So revel in it, enjoy it, remember it, because if you know, this is why you watch sports, that you get this kind of thing comes around a few times in your life, and you might as well just kind of stay in the moment and not think about other things that might distract you from it, or what might happen tomorrow, or what might happen in the next series. Like, you know, after that game, after that that Texas game, I was down on the field doing some post-game stuff, and, you know, they let the fans stay in the stadium for a long time after those games, which is nice, and the players come out on the field rather than celebrate in the clubhouse and kind of celebrate on the field, and they bring their own families out there, and it's a really nice vibe. And I'll tell you, standing there and kind of looking around and soaking that in, I thought, this is as good as it gets. This meaningless spectacle that we spend a lot of our lives investing in, and that allows some of us to make a living, which is nice. But there are these moments where it's better than just about anything, and that was one of them.
I don't know if history will let us remember down the road how good Matt Bush was pitching in this game.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, one of his last pitches was 99. He was getting stronger, and to watch Josh Donaldson, while everybody else was swinging for the fence, he shortens up a bit, gets the double. Within that game, I mean, that obviously a key hit. The barehanded play to first was huge. And then the decision and the ability to make the move at third and beat out the tag and force Moreland to make an off throw at home. Josh Donaldson went from what's wrong with Josh Donaldson? He can't play. He's hurt. Maybe he has to sit, to one wild card game and then three of these to being, without a doubt, their most valuable player.
Yeah, he is hurt. Like, I'm not sure what they have to do to him to get him on the field, but I guarantee you he's hurt, and I guarantee you at the end of this season we're going to be hearing about something. You know, whether he has to have surgery or a long, long rest to kind of get back to normal after the season. But his hip is not right. I can tell you that. And they're doing a lot of work on him before every game. And I'm not sure. I think there was one of those post game interviews when they asked him about his hip, and he said, you know, I can't feel anything right now. And I'm not sure that was just kind of the emotion of the moment.
Adrenaline?
I think they're doing stuff.
Yeah. Adrenaline or horse tranquilizer.
Yeah. I'm thinking the horse tranquilizer thing is going, there's something happening with him that he is playing through, you know, kind of, but he is that kind of an athlete. And I think we talked about this before. He's the kind of guy who win, you know, in a situation like that, he's the guy you want on your team. Because he's insanely competitive, and he plays on a kind of a crazy edge a lot of the time. If things are going badly, he's the last guy you want on your team, because you know he's on people in the clubhouse, and he's vocal, and he's unhappy, and he doesn't hide it, and he can rub people the wrong way. And he did in Oakland, guaranteed, and I think he has at times in Toronto this year rubbed some people the wrong way. But man, with a game on the line like that, he's the guy you want rounding third and saying, I'm going to make these guys make a play, which is, you know, that's what that's all about, right? Like, he might get thrown out at the plate there. And you know, then the game continues and the pitching matchup is going to probably be Dyson versus Tapera, which is not a great matchup for the Toronto Blue Jays. And maybe they lose that game in extra innings and then we're still talking about this series. But you force them to make a play. Say, okay, if you can make this play, good on you, and we'll do it. But I'm gonna force the issue, and that's brilliant, aggressive baseball. It's the right thing to do in those circumstances, and you know he was better than they were in that moment.
How would you line up the rotation now that you've got 5 days off? It'll be a Friday game one with Cleveland in Cleveland.
It's it's great to have the options. The one thing, they'll probably line it up so Sanchez pitches once in this series, again, the way they did in the last one. So Sanchez would pitch probably game three coming home, maybe game four. You know, you've got Stroman who would have been lined up to pitch, but I'm not sure he goes first. I kind of think you go with Estrada and Hap 1-2 or Hap Estrada, and then maybe Sanchez or maybe Stroman 3 and Sanchez 4. The pitching depth is your advantage in this series because with Cleveland, with the injuries they've had to Salazar and to Carrasco, although there's some chance Salazar could come back for the series, I guess. But once you get past once you get past Kluber, I know Bauer had a pretty good start for them against Boston, but the Blue Jays' advantage here is going to be that they've got five guys that they can run out there if they have to, presuming Liriano is better and ready to go for game two. And Cleveland doesn't. Cleveland's X factor is Andrew Miller, though. And that's going to be, we're going to be talking about Andrew Miller in this series for sure.
You mentioned the injury with Liriano. What about Devin Travis? What about Joaquin Benoit? Is there a chance those guys are on the ALCS roster?
I saw Benoit down on the field after that game against Texas, and he didn't look like a guy who was going to be playing anytime soon to me. You know, he's kind of walking around in bedroom slippers, which is, he doesn't have a walking cast on anymore, but he didn't look like a guy that was going to play. So I have my doubts about him. Travis, I think it's a bit of a mystery. They almost took him off the roster before that game, which would have meant he would have been off the roster for the whole LCS because they were worried about getting caught short an infielder. And now this break helps them. They can work on him. But I'll tell you, like talking to John Gibbons, I know people are saying he's getting better, but I don't know if he's going to be ready or not. Obviously they can't gamble. You can't gamble and put yourself in a situation where you might end up having Russell Martin playing second base, which is kind of what they were looking at. So I think we'll hear a little bit more. They had the day off yesterday. I think they there may be a workout today. Certainly there is one tomorrow. So we'll hear a bit more. But no one's explained to me how he got hurt. He's got a bone bruise, but there wasn't a play where it seemed to happen. He wasn't really obvious on the field that he was hurt. So this one's a bit of a mystery.
What does Cleveland do well? What's the scouting report here from afar?
They've got a bunch of switch hitters, a really good offense based on versatility and switch hitters. They do score runs, and that's going to cause a lot of problems. Obviously, you can't match up against them. So they do that well. They've got a very good bullpen anchored by their closer is kind of the second best guy in the bullpen. Andrew Miller, again, a guy who went in and threw 40 pitches in the middle. Used their best pitcher in the highest leverage situation. So that's a big card for Terry Francona to play in this series. And then they got Kluber, who is a Cy Young guy. Could be the Cy Young Award winner this year. So that's a really strong number one, really nice, versatile offense. They play well, good defense, and a tremendous relief pitcher who they're using in a very, I guess unorthodox, in baseball terms, but really kind of a logical way. And, a guy who can get them out of trouble in the middle innings or kind of shut a game down in the middle innings. So those are all, and I got a lot of time for Francona. I don't know, Ed, I think strategically he's as good as anybody in baseball.
The Indians had five more wins in the regular season than the Jays did, but do you feel like the Indians are going to be viewed as the underdog in this, or at least they're going to want to portray themselves as the underdog?
I think there's going to be a little bit of that. I think, what's happened in the last, it's really just since we got into the postseason is the Jays have started looking like offensively like the 2015 Blue Jays. And I'm not sure if that's sustainable or not, but the fact that they, it was kind of bombs away against Texas. A lot of people are saying, if you combine that kind of offense with the pitching they've had this year, this is an extraordinarily strong baseball team. Now, we'll see. We'll see if they can sustain that because they haven't all year, right? They haven't been that team. They're in fits and starts they have, but they haven't been that team that goes out and scores six or seven or eight runs. If the offense continues, and you know what you've got in terms of starting pitching, and you know what you've got in terms of Roberto Osuna. The Jays would be a legitimate favorite, I think, going into the series. Not a crazy big favorite. I can certainly see a scenario where Cleveland wins, but the pieces they have and the way they have played since that last weekend in Boston, they're a pretty tough matchup for just about anybody.
I don't like the Red Sox. I don't know that I ever will like the Red Sox, but I got to tell you, sad to see David Ortiz go. It's like he was bigger. Even as a guy who cheers for the Yankees, or if you cheered for the Jays, you'd hate when this guy came up because he could kill you, and more often than not, he did in big moments. We'll go down as one of the best clutch postseason players of all time.
Yeah, well, one of the best hitters of all time, period. He's a, even though he didn't play a position, he's a lock to be in the Hall of Fame, and he is one of those guys where you could hate the Red Sox and still like Big Poppy, and I'm one of those people. I got no love for the Red Sox or their fans, but I loved watching Ortiz play, even though he killed the Jays, forever. But what a funny season for Boston, huh?
Yeah.
Cruise to the, win 11 in a row in September, cruise to the division lead, set your rotation up. You go out and make some moves at the deadline that look really good. You've got a closer you're really happy with in theory. You got David Price. And now you look at it and you say, boy, what did that all add up to? Not that they're not going to be great next year, because the youth of that team is the scary part for everybody else in the American League. Like they have so many great young position players right now that they're going to be tremendous next year. And I'm sure they will go out and try and shore up their pitching a little bit. But boy, a big part of the conversation here, as you can imagine, is the continuing puzzle of what David Price is in the playoffs. Or isn't in the playoffs. And, maybe a lot of people who were around this time last year were wringing their hands about whether Toronto should go out and meet David Price's price in the marketplace. Now kind of thinking, that wasn't, maybe that's okay that we missed that opportunity.
So what is the, what are your duties? Because I would guess it's content, Jays between now and Friday.
Yeah, there is this little thing with this hockey season starting apparently this week. So I have been,
poor Steven.
Yes, I've been writing some scripts. They won't necessarily have my voice on them, but I've been working on hockey content and hockey features as well. So it's a hell of a week. I will be here. I'm not going to Cleveland because we have to keep the lights on in the radio studio. But otherwise, yes, a lot of Blue Jays and. It's going to be fun. As I said, these are the times of, times of year and times of life where you go, it's okay to work till 2 a.m. and then come back in and work and do a radio show early in the morning because, you know, there'll be a Tuesday night in February when there's not a hell of a lot going on, and you'll pine for this kind of stuff.
Well, we live it a lot all summer long, and we've said it how many times, how great baseball playoffs are. Between what you've seen with the Blue Jays, how about last night? Jake Arrieta hits a three-run shot for the Cubs, and, I mean, the Giants are dead. They go to 13, they stay alive, and now all of a sudden it's like, well, there's anything can happen. You just don't see that happen in other sports, I swear.
I love autumn baseball, you know, and, you know, that's, again, you're right. Like, Bumgarner is, you know, invincible in the postseason, except last night he gives up a three-run homer to a pitcher.
Yes.
And looks kind of ordinary, and they still manage to win that game. I don't think they're going to beat the Cubs in the end, but there's some great stories this year. You know, the story you're going to hear a lot about this week, and we haven't even touched on it, is, of course, that whole Cleveland thing here. You know, Mark Shapiro, right around this time last year, again, remember we were having the great drama about Alex Anthopoulos and whether he would stay or leave. And Mark Shapiro was, of course, like the cartoon villain in that drama. And a lot of people saying, yeah, Cleveland, whoever, you know, what do they ever do in Cleveland? Well, the organization that he built in Cleveland is going to be out in force this fall. They look pretty good. Somebody knew something about baseball over there. And, of course, it's kind of, for him, it's like guaranteed win night.
Well, I think he'd probably rather the Jays win.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I know what he'd rather. But
yeah, I think he'd probably be all right.
But I do think he's feeling a little bit of pride in what those other guys did this year, too, and I don't blame him.
Have a great week. We will catch up with you on
game day.
It's going to be crazy. Game day. Love it.
Game day.
Awesome. Thanks, Stephen.
See you guys.